Welcome to the Empathy Exchange podcast, the show dedicated to helping seniors care staff and residents' families build relational connections based on trust, respect, and understanding as partners in care. To work together in the shared goal of providing the best possible quality of life and care for people living in seniors care, your residents and loved ones. So if you work in seniors care or you're a family member, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Deborah Bakhti. Welcome back to the Empathy Exchange podcast. And this is episode 12. And today it's just going to be you and me. When I started the Empathy Exchange podcast, I was really thinking of it as a limited series, as a resource that people could go back to, that clients that I work with can be embedded in the curriculum that I'm sharing with them, and for families to be able to access, as well as new families joining in the seniors care environment. And so this is going to be the last episode within this series, but stay tuned to the end of the episode and I'll be sharing a little bit about what's coming up next. So today we're going to be talking about expectations, or thinking of it almost like the expectation gap. And what I've noticed in all the work that I do, that the biggest contributor to the stress and the friction and the frustration that can happen between staff and families, it usually boils down to unmet expectations. And what typically happens when what we expect doesn't happen is the emotion of disappointment. So to help frame up this topic, I want to share a quote attributed to Chip Conley, who's an author. And it goes like this: disappointment equals expectations minus reality. So when you think about it, if you have an expectation and it doesn't align with the reality of the situation, the amount of space in between that expectation and reality is where the disappointment lies. And I'll just give a quick example. If, for example, you're on your way to work and you zip into the Tim Hortons or the Starbucks and you're anticipating to be able to zip through the drive-through line and you get there and there's like a dozen cars ahead of you, you may feel some disappointment. Or you're, again, driving to work and you want to hit every green light because your expectation is that the lights are going to be synced in your favor and you hit every red light, there's a level of disappointment. So again, those are simple examples of when we have an expectation and the reality doesn't align, and then we have this expectation gap. I want to share a quote from Brené Brown, and this is from her latest book, Atlas of the Heart, where she really gives some good context into the emotion of disappointment. Disappointment is unmet expectations. The more significant the expectations, the more significant the disappointment. Every day, sometimes every hour, we are consciously and unconsciously setting expectations of ourselves and the people in our lives, especially those closest to us. The unconscious, unexamined, and unexpressed expectations are the most dangerous and often turn into disappointment. In fact, the research tells us that disappointment is one of the most frequently experienced emotions, and it tends to be experienced at a high level of intensity. I mean, just pause on that for a moment, right? This idea that disappointment is one of the most frequently experienced emotions and it tends to be experienced at a high level of intensity. When we develop expectations, we paint a picture in our head of how things are going to be and how they're going to look. We set expectations based not only on how we fit in that picture, but also on what those around us are doing in that picture. This means that our expectations are often set on outcomes totally beyond our control, like what other people think, what they feel, or how they're going to react. The movie in our mind is wonderful, but no one else knows their parts, their lines, or what it means to us. Disappointment takes a toll on us and our relationships. It requires considerable emotional bandwidth. So that's a lot. You may want to rewind it and re-listen to that. And I'll also put that quote in the show notes. Because what's really happening when we have a family coming into your home, they're coming in with an expectation. The reality doesn't align with that expectation. And then it creates disappointment. And disappointment can then spiral into frustration, anger, conflict, stress that ripples out and impacts everybody that is involved in that interaction. So when we think about when Brené Brown talked about disappointment is one of the most frequently experienced emotions, and it tends to be experienced at a high level of intensity. Moving a loved one into care, whether that's long-term care, retirement living, assisted living, memory care, is high stakes. And there's a lot of room for disappointment if we don't clarify the expectations. Because those expectations that families are coming in with could fall under that unconscious, unexamined, or unexpressed categories. So to make this practical, I want to share some examples of expectations that families can have. And I've been able to glean this information from conversations with families, as well as through exercises that I do with staff to say, what are the most common expectations that you hear from families that can be difficult for you to be able to make a reality? So I'm just going to walk through a few of those with you. My loved one should get 24/7 one-on-one care. Now that my loved one is in care, they should stabilize or get better. We should be able to see the physician whenever we want or feel that we need to have a physician consult. We want to have the same PSW or HCA 7 days a week. My loved one's care should be prioritized first over other residents. My loved one should never have a fall now that they're in care because there's the expectation that residents are getting 24/7 one-on-one care. Clothing, dentures, glasses shouldn't ever get damaged or go missing. Staff should respond immediately when a call bell is pulled. And there shouldn't be weight gain or weight loss because that results in needing new clothes or possibly a new wheelchair, which has a cost. So those are just some examples of what staff have shared as these are expectations that in their mind, they see as unrealistic. And unrealistic is a perception and it's a label. If you refer back to episode 4 of the Empathy Exchange podcast, it's called, Are Your Narratives Creating Friction Between Staff and Families? This is one of the narratives that I referred to that staff can have about families, that they have unrealistic expectations. There's nothing we can do to satisfy them. They're expectations are unrealistic. And so, you know, I think it's important for us to talk about this labeling of unrealistic expectations, how they happen, and the opportunity to clarify and, if and when necessary, to adjust those expectations. So I want to start by just posing the question, are they unrealistic expectations or are they uneducated or unenlightened? And by that, I mean, families don't know what they don't know, and it's not their fault. It's not their fault that they're coming into a home with the expectation that their loved one is going to have 24/7 one-on-one care. I mean, it still amazes me that that is a thing, because for those of us who work in seniors care, know that that's not realistic, it's not achievable, and quite frankly, it's not desirable. Like I've said to families, would you want to be tethered to another human being 24 hours a day? It is unrealistic, but is it because it's an uneducated expectation or unenlightened because they thought that somebody told them, well, once you move your loved one into care, they're going to be cared for 24/7. And the assumption is that that also involves one-on-one. And it reminds me of feedback that I received with a workshop that I provided. And at the end, I ask, what's the one thing that you're taking away from our time together? And this person wrote down, remembering my math teacher that assumed because they understood math, everyone did. Not everyone understands seniors care. And I thought that was a simple yet profound observation. When we think about families and their expectations that we deem to be unrealistic, how much of it is that they don't understand seniors care? And so they need to be informed, educated, enlightened. And that gives us the opportunity to reframe this labeling or the narrative that we can have about unrealistic expectations. In my book, Now What? Managing the Emotional Journey of Long-Term Care for Families, there's a whole chapter where I outline 20 misconceptions to be able to provide that education and enlightenment to families. And at the end of this podcast, I'll just take a couple of minutes to read those 20 misconceptions. So as a family member, you may want to listen to it and ask yourself as I go through them, are any of these an expectation that I have, or I think that I have, or that I should have? And if you're listening to this and you work in seniors care, to be able to think of what are the ones that you're hearing most from families and be able to look at what I've provided there as a resource to be able to clarify these, quote, unrealistic expectations. So then it got me thinking about, well, what really contributes to these unrealistic expectations? And I've touched on the first one, which is the knowledge gap. Families don't know what they don't know. So they're coming in and they think they know what they should be able to expect, and they think it's absolutely realistic and achievable. And the other part of it is that families can have expectations that part of those expectations that they're bringing in that the staff don't even know yet because they fall under that unexpressed category. And so then that invites the opportunity to clarify. So I think a great example is a family's coming in, they are expecting 24/7 one-on-one care. They haven't actually said it out loud because it's like, well, that's what I've been told and you guys know that you provide this. And the very first time that family gets a call from a staff to say, just want to let you know your mom had a fall. She's okay. She's good. We've taken care of her, but we just wanted to let you know. And the family's reaction is, well, how could that have possibly happened? You are supposed to be taking care of her. You're supposed to be keeping an eye on her. She's supposed to have one-on-one care. Now, all of a sudden, that unexpressed expectation is out there. And now you're having to, in essence, backpedal to then catch up with the education. But the disappointment's already occurred because their expectation was, my mom will never have a fall because you have one-on-one care. And the reality is that residents can and do have falls in a home. The other piece I think that contributes to this is that we're starting this relationship in a relational deficit. And what I mean by that is, and I've certainly referred to this on other episodes, is that a family is coming in typically, not always, but typically in a state of crisis. Their loved one's been on a wait list or crisis list or in hospital on the crisis list waiting for placement. And they are needing to be placed into care based on a change in their health. So it's not something typically that families plan, look forward to, have as a when I get older or when my loved one gets older kind of goal. So when they're coming in a very short time frame of the planning, they're coming in with all of that anxiety and the emotion gap and identity gap that I've referred to in previous episodes. And then you've got the staff who they may be feeling their own admission anxiety about who's the new resident, who's the new family, what are they going to be like, are they with what we have in our file, is that going to align with our expectations? So these two parties are meeting in their own experience of admission anxiety that they're bringing in. And so within all of that, and then all of the paperwork and transactions and things that have to be covered in that first day, there can create this tension where if we don't actually figure out a way to clarify those expectations, we're not able to make those deposits into the relational bank account to get out of that relational deficit. If you'd like to learn more about the work that I do in providing staff training, family training, or if you're also looking to redesign your admission process, you can find me at deborahbakhti.com. And you can email me at deborah@deborahbakhti.com, and all that information will be in the show notes. The real sweet spot opportunity is to look at how do we clarify and then, if necessary, adjust expectations. And I tend to use the word adjust versus lower, because it doesn't have to be a lowering by adjusting. What we're able to do is to bring that insight, information, knowledge, enlightenment, to be able to then have somebody say, okay, now I get it. See, I was thinking that it was one-on-one, but I also understand that really it's 24/7. You have care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in our home, but it's not one-on-one. And yeah, I guess that makes sense. I don't know why I was thinking it would be one-on-one. Then you can open a conversation about what the care levels can look like. So I want to start to, in speaking with staff who work in seniors care, here are some questions that you can ask to help uncover the expectations so that you're better positioned to be able to clarify and adjust if necessary. And I will also summarize these questions in the show notes. So the first question could be, what is your understanding of how our home and care supports work? So the next two questions, you want to customize it based on the level of care that you're providing, if it's long-term care, assisted living, memory care, or retirement living. Have you had previous experiences with fill in the blank, i.e. long-term care? What are your perceptions about fill in the blank, i.e. assisted living? Tell us a bit about what your expectations are. I mean, it can be a bit of a scary question because you don't know what they're going to answer, but at least it's going to give you a sense as to where they're at and what you can work with. What are you most worried about moving your loved one into our home? And again, I know it's a vulnerable question, but how they answer is going to give you some really good insights as to what's important to them and what they see as what they need to feel good about this move. What do you need to feel more comfortable or confident with this decision of moving your loved one into our home? What's most important to you? What are you most hoping for? What would you appreciate the most from us? And what support do you need or want from us? Now, I'm not suggesting you're going to ask every single question and have it on a checklist. You will have a good sense with the family when you meet them. Use your intuition, perhaps, if that's something that works for you. The idea here is to ask the question, be curious, listen, give them the space, and they may need a minute or two to think about it because likely no one's ever asked them this question before, and maybe they haven't even really thought of it. But what a way to be able to tap into what could be their unconscious, unexamined, and yet to be expressed expectations that you're able to then either clarify in that moment if it's time sensitive, or to be able to say, you know what, this is going to be a really busy, overwhelming day, but I've made a note of this and I would love to have a follow-up conversation with you because I think there's some things that I can share with you that can help you achieve what you're looking for. Remember, families don't know what they don't know, and it's not their fault. As a staff member, it's your job to meet them where they are and to take the lead and be their guide. Now, for families, here's what I recommend, and I wish I had known at the time to have done this myself. What I suggest that you do is to write down what your expectations are. And this could be before you move your loved one in or shortly thereafter, or even if you are a seasoned family member in seniors care. I mean, it would be an interesting exercise to do to see what you come up with. So write them down and put it in writing so that you can see it and read it and reflect on these ideas. Why is this your expectation? How reasonable do you think this expectation is? How much are you relying on things outside of your control to meet that expectation? How will you feel if this isn't met? What needs are you trying to get met with this expectation? How important is this to you? Is there knowledge that you're missing that, if provided, could change this expectation? And again, I'll be putting these notes in the show notes because it's a lot to take in. So let's use an example, a practical example. Let's say as a family member, you have an expectation that clothing should never get damaged or lost. So to think about, why is this your expectation? It could be, well, I'm just assuming it's a home and this is what they do and they've got the facilities to do it. And why wouldn't I expect that, right? But to be able to look a little bit deeper, it may be the expectation is that when I spend money on clothes, I don't want to have that money go to waste. And then to think, how reasonable is it? How reasonable is it to expect that clothing, if your loved one's living in a home that has 149 other residents, how reasonable is it that clothing wouldn't get damaged or lost? How much are you relying on things outside of your control to meet that expectation? Well, all of that is kind of outside of your control, other than perhaps if you're purchasing clothes and knowing that things could get damaged or lost, that you may not bring the cashmere sweaters in. How will you feel if this isn't met? You know, how important is this to you? To really be reflective on that, is this something that's a deal breaker if it happens? Because I'll give you the heads up, it's quite possible that in this example, laundry will get damaged or lost. And is there knowledge you're missing that I provided could change this expectation? When I worked in seniors care and going to many of our homes and doing a tour of the home, and I was always amazed when I was toured through the laundry facility that more stuff wasn't damaged or lost when you just think of the volume. So, I mean, again, it's just one example, but you can be thinking about with when you write down what those expectations are and in essence, almost doing a check to say, you know, is this a realistic expectation? And how can I get more education on that? In my first book, Recipe for Empathy, Six Strategies to Transform Your Families into Fans in Seniors Care, the last E in recipe, because it's an acronym, is the expectations chapter. And in that book, I talked about how it's important, this book was written for staff, to be clear on what they can expect from us and what we can expect from them. And what I mean by that is my recommendation is that staff and families within the onboarding process, and again, not necessarily on the first day, is to have an expectations conversation. To be able to say, you know, we have found that when there is disappointment and that can cause frustration for families, it usually boils down to an unmet expectation that the families had with us. So we like to take an upfront approach and talk about what are the expectations that you have and be able to start that conversation. But it's also important that the staff are able to share with families what their expectations are of the family. The family is coming in as a new member in their community, as a partner in care. And families absolutely impact the culture and the vibe of the home. And so for both families and staff to think about, we are now coming together as partners. This is a key, critical relationship. Let's have an open conversation. What do you expect of us? And here are some of the things that we expect of you. And be able to come to an agreement on that. And a part of it may be, if there are misunderstandings or miscommunications or laundry gets lost or damaged, let's agree that we're going to have a conversation to be able to clarify and make right whatever the situation is. In Brené Brown's book that I quoted from, she talked about reality check your expectations. And I love that phrase because I think not only in the context of families and staff, but listening to this episode, you can apply this to your everyday life. I mean, the challenge with relationships is that we bring our own expectations into it, whether those expectations are those unconscious, unexpressed, or unexamined expectations. And in our relationships, people also bring that in their relationship with us, because again, it's a two-way street. So in this section of her book, Atlas of the Heart, the chapter around disappointment, she provided a few questions to be able to reality check your expectations. What expectations do you have going into this? What do you want to happen and why? What will that mean to you? Do you have a movie in your head? Like, do you have a movie in your head of how you expect this all to go, but nobody else knows their parts or their lines? And are you setting goals and expectations that are completely outside of your control? A lot to think about and reflect on. And yet I believe that the more focus and intention and work that we can put into how we are forming our expectations and using some of these questions to really get underneath them and to get better at informing others and sharing that, I think it can help tremendously for staff and for families as we work together to provide the best quality of life and care for the family's loved one, the staff's resident. And who doesn't want to reduce the friction and frustration in relationships because it takes a lot of energy? So I've got a couple of takeaways for staff. I invite you to talk about with your team in the home, what are the top unrealistic expectations that they hear and feel frustrated by? And share this episode so that they can also glean from the conversation and really challenge yourself to say, is it an unrealistic expectation? Or is there something that we can do to enlighten and educate and inform to be able to adjust that expectation? And there's a tool that I use with my clients called the Expectation Gap Map. And basically what you do is you take a sheet of paper, you create three columns. In the first column, write out, what is the family's expectation? In the second column, write out, what is your reality? And then in the third column is where you brainstorm ways that you can adjust either the expectation or the reality. So if we use the example of the laundry, the expectation from the family is that laundry should never go missing. The reality of a home is that they do probably hundreds of thousands of tons of laundry on an ongoing basis, that is just not achievable. So brainstorming ways to adjust the expectation of the family could be giving them a tour of the laundry facility if they see with their own eyes, like I did. You could see, wow, it's pretty amazing that you don't lose more. If that's not an option, then you could do a video or mapping out the laundry process or just explaining to families the reality of the situation with doing mass amounts of laundry. The takeaway for families would be to reflect on what your expectations are and are they realistic? Like really just taking the emotion out of it, is this really a realistic expectation? And use the questions that I shared earlier. And then I would suggest that you share with staff your expectation and asked to have a conversation about how to best achieve the result you're looking for or be enlightened to the reality and what's achievable. I hope that that was helpful. A lot of information there. You'll want to access the show notes to be able to get more of the detailed questions. Curiosity is your superpower. I hope that you're able to get some benefit from these questions. I also referenced that I would be reading the 20 Misconceptions from the Now What book. And before I do that, as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, this is the final episode of this limited series of the Empathy Exchange podcast. I've got some other big projects in the works, and one of them may be a third book. And so I'm not saying this is it forever. I would suggest that you subscribe to the Empathy Exchange podcast. You'll be the first to know when things get restarted and what I'm up to in creating information and content and resources for my audience. And I just really appreciate you being here with me on this journey. In chapter 15 of Now What, Managing the Emotional Journey of Long-Term Care for Families, I share common misconceptions, and there's 20 of them. So take a listen, make a note of the ones that perhaps you would say, oh yeah, no, I actually thought that was a thing. And that would be a great opportunity to talk to staff in the home about. And if you're a staff listening to this, make note of the ones that you hear most commonly, and you can certainly resource the Now What book to be able to hear the breakdown that I share with families as to why it's a misconception, to be able to adjust their expectation to be more aligned with reality. Okay, here we go. Number one, I thought my loved one was going to get 24/7 one-on-one care. Two, I thought clothing wouldn't get lost or damaged. After all, they're labeled. Three, I should always be able to call and speak to a care team member right away. Four, I thought my loved one would have the same people taking care of them every day. Five, if there is a care plan, then everything on that care plan should be done every day. Six, the only way to get respect and resolve a problem is to be the squeaky wheel and escalate it to the highest level. Seven, if I complain, the staff will take it out on my loved one. Eight, now that they're in long-term care, my loved one is going to improve or get better, otherwise known as the, quote, I expect the staff to work miracles. Nine, staff should know where my loved one is when I call or visit. 10, I thought I'd feel more settled and relieved now that my loved one is in long-term care, or I thought the adjustment would take longer. 11, I should be able to get a parking spot when I come to visit. 12, I thought I'd get regular detailed updates about my loved one's activities, participation, medical information, eating habits, etc. 13, I thought our care conference would be more comprehensive with information, updates, and be easier to get scheduled. 14, I thought it would be easier to connect with other families at the home. 15, I thought the staff would be more proactive in alerting me to additional issues, for example, foot care or changes to their habits or behaviors. 16, I thought their room would be secure. 17, I thought we would have more than just 24 hours to clean the room out after our loved one passes away. 18, if I'm the POA, power of attorney, for health, then I should be able to make all the decisions on behalf of my loved one. 19, I didn't think residents in long-term care would or should be sexually active. And 20, my loved one should be getting more care than they're getting, given how much we're paying. I hope that those were helpful, and there may be some that you really resonated with. You can certainly pick up a copy of Now What, or if the home that your loved one is in has copies, you can always ask them for a copy. I'll put a link in the show notes to my website to give you more information. And until next time, remember, there's power in your presence. So make your presence matter.